The Biden administration and members of Congress are calling for more oversight of America's pipelines. That comes less than a week after a major pipeline that carries gas and jet fuel to the East Coast was taken offline by a cyber attack. Reports this afternoon that the line is coming back online. The FBI says the ransomware attack was carried out by an Eastern European group known as DarkSide. In recent years, banks, hospitals, universities, and city governments have been hit by such attacks. A security firm tells the Washington Post that last year alone, nearly 2,400 organizations were victims. Tyler Moore is the Tandy Professor of Cybersecurity and Information Assurance at the University of Tulsa. His areas of expertise include cybercrime measurement and cybersecurity policy. Tyler, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Well, what do we know about this pipeline attack? What are you watching for here?
Well, in many ways, it's another run-of-the-mill ransomware attack. As you said, 2,400 attacks last year. The criminals go in, they infect computers on an enterprise network, and then lock the data till you give them the money. And what's interesting to me about this one is the preemptive shutdown of the pipelines has seemed to be causing most of the havoc. And it'll be interesting to see when they can actually bring it back online, and whether or not they've actually rooted out the cause of the infection when it does come online.
How vulnerable are we in this country for critical stuff like our pipelines and hospitals and so forth to being successfully targeted by these ransomware groups?
Well, I mean, I think the evidence is pretty clear that we're quite vulnerable. Especially things like critical infrastructures, hospitals, these are organizations that prioritize availability. And it's really important to make these systems available. And so attackers know this, and they target them because that they're going to hit us where it hurts. And we often introduce vulnerabilities into our system to make them available, which makes it easier for them to compromise them in the first place.
A lot of ransomware attacks are the kind where the hackers get into your system and basically they shut down your access to your data. You want to get up and running again, you got to pay them. Another case here, more disturbing maybe, Washington, D.C. hackers releasing sensitive data about the city's police department, personnel files, threatening to release undercover investigation notes, things like that, if they're not paid. Are we seeing more of that kind of approach?
Yeah, this is definitely an interesting twist. I mean, ransomware's been around for the better part of a decade, and yeah, the playbook used to be you just encrypt the data, people can't access it. If you don't pay, it's gone forever. I think they've stumbled onto another way to make it hurt, which is to, threaten to disclose information. And we've seen this happen in other cases. Some universities that have been hit, there have been, attempts to threaten that they would threaten they'd release student records unless the ransoms were paid. And here in the DC case, it's, police personnel files that were disclosed. And what we're really seeing is just a ratcheting up of the pressure from the gangs to try to extort larger and larger ransoms.
Who's doing this stuff?
Well, I mean, it seems to be cyber criminal gangs, which, are predominantly based in Eastern European countries. And, these groups, are profit motivated. So, whereas, in years past, they might have focused on phishing attacks to try to steal banking credentials or advanced free frauds, they've now really honed in on ransomware as the most profitable activity, because instead of, stealing a little bit of money out of an individual's bank account, they can hit organizations and, get hundreds of thousands of dollars per infection, which is quite attractive.
Talking to Tyler Moore from the University of Tulsa, cybersecurity expert there, talking about ransomware attacks. The big one in the news, this oil pipeline, not the only one out there, though, lots of others over the last year or so. Tyler, President Biden said his administration would begin 100-day initiatives focused on making things like pipelines and water and other sectors more protected. If they called you up, what would you tell them to do?
Well, I think that, it's true that, our critical infrastructures need to have a greater investment in security. I think there's a lot of what we know needs to be done is out there. There's basic cyber hygiene that needs to be put in place. It's just a matter of making the investment to do so. It's unfortunately pretty expensive in many cases for enterprises to keep up. And so I think, you know, the policy we should be considering for improving cybersecurity is placing more of an expectation of investment into security among our critical infrastructure operators. Right now, everything is voluntary, and you know, people do their best, but without sort of a duty to make the investment and an obligation to do so, some unfortunately will not.
How about the money supply here? Are there things we could do to take the profit motive that you say was motivating these gangs out of the equation?
Sure. I think in the case of ransomware in particular, we really have to get our heads around these escalating ransoms. It's getting completely out of control. Just a few years ago, ransoms were only costing a few single thousands of dollars, which may seem like a lot, but you know, in 2020, the average ransom paid out was over $300,000, and it just keeps going up. And so the way we're going to get ahead of ransomware in particular is to try to make these ransoms not be paid at the rates that they are. So we need to, you know, establish some norms or perhaps even some laws that would require, you know, forbid the paying of ransom, and making it much less attractive for these kind of attacks that happen in the first place.
Well, that seems tough if I'm running a hospital and my patient records are suddenly encrypted and I can't get into them. I don't know. I think I'd be willing to pay.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the rub, right? So if you're an individual operator, then it makes perfect sense. The calculus is that, you know, you've been attacked. You want to fix this problem. And so you're going to pay up. And that's why in every individual organization is typically making that calculation. But when you look at it by taking a step back from the societal perspective, it's not good because every hospital that pays or every city or pipeline that pays makes it more likely that the next city, hospital or pipeline is going to be targeted. And so we have to get in front of this by making it, you know, making these ransoms no longer a viable way for the criminals to make money.
I understand a lot of these, all of these maybe are being paid in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Was that kind of an essential ingredient in making these attacks work?
Absolutely. I mean, you can't pay a multi-$100,000 ransom on a credit card. And if you try to pay it through a wire transfer, you know, those kind of payments will get blocked or reversed. And so, you know, Bitcoin is an essential ingredient here for this to work because it's a non-revocable transaction that's hard to trace. And so the criminals absolutely use Bitcoin because without Bitcoin, how else could someone in Eastern Europe be able to extort money from organizations in the United States? So that's definitely an issue.
Now, how about us individuals? Are we vulnerable to this kind of ransomware attack?
Well, you know, when ransomware started, you know, going about, you know, 18 years ago, individuals did get targeted with ransomware. But that's much less common now. And the reason why is that, you know, the criminals have realized that they have deeper pockets to go after, right? So organizations are much more likely to pay and have more resources to pay. And one big reason for that is because many organizations and municipalities have cyber insurance, and the cyber insurance typically will cover the costs of a ransomware incident, including paying out the ransom itself.
In our last minute or so, we've seen cities like Oshkosh and Racine here in Wisconsin hit by this, your own hometown, Tulsa, dealing with a ransomware attack. If somebody's in a city running a local government, what would you tell them to do to prepare for and hopefully prevent a ransomware attack in the future?
So, you know, cities have a hard job in front of them. They tend to have very low budgets in IT compared to the private sector. And so that makes them a better target for attackers. And so essentially what, you know, the advice to try to deal with prevent a ransomware attack is to make investments to update software and to maintain good backups of your systems. And that advice is good, but it requires investment. And so what ultimately that's going to mean is that the citizens in these cities are going to have to recognize that it's going to take added investment in your city IT infrastructure, which unfortunately is going to cost money. And so if we want to be secure, we're going to have to pay for it.
Tyler, thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Tyler Moore is the Tandy Professor of Cybersecurity and Information Assurance at the University of Tulsa. We talked to him about the ransomware attack against a fuel pipeline along the east coast of the U.S. and how prepared America's infrastructure, local governments, and businesses are when it comes to future attacks, which there will be, it sounds like.